Hey Randy, what's up? Oh, you sent one? Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm working on episode 5 right now. Okay, let me check my email. Did you send it to monsterb@linuxcranks.info? Okay, I'll check that one. Okay, yeah, I got it. Cool, it's 26 minutes long. I'll go ahead and just this will be episode 5, just this one clip. All right, thanks, man. I'll go ahead and play it right now. All right, see you later.
Hey there, this is Randy Knows's submission. I go by a handful of different names. I'm not that picky. Call me just about anything. You could even call me late for dinner, although I don't look like it. How I got involved with Linux, this is in response to Plateau and Monster B's request for an HPR episode of how I discovered Linux and how I got involved with it. I forget which exact title it is, but how I ended up with Ubuntu on my desktop is basically what I'm gonna kind of go through and what I had and what got me ticked off and brought me to the open source world, which is just an amazing world. Is that I've A little bit of history of me is I've been kind of a geek and I've enjoyed playing around with computers quite a bit. My first experience with a computer was in the fourth grade with a mainframe at a college with some sort of a camp retreat that that our church or whatever had, some church-related thing, but it was a church college campus. And I played Hunt the Wumpus on the mainframe during the camp, and someone let the password leak on out to all us little kids, and all of us were just fascinated and played Hunt the Wumpus. But that was my first, experience with a computer, and I enjoyed it. And I shouldn't have listened to everyone that gave me negative reasons why not to get into the whole computing thing early on. So I didn't. They said you had to be really, good with math, which actually the computer's really good with math. You just have to have good concepts, and I'm not good with math. All right, I'm digressing, and I do that a lot, so I apologize in advance, because if anyone's listened to me talk before, I probably do a little bit of that here and there, and that's just the way I am, I guess. So, oh, I was sitting in my truck. I'm a truck driver right now by trade, these days. Not that this is my first love. I worked on lottery machines for 12 years, and I've been involved with the IT related type industry, one way or the other, and had a computer since, oh, since the day of the Coco, my first. But anyway, back to where I got disgusted with Microsoft, because I was never really thrilled with Microsoft. It's kind of like a Walmart type of a thing. They've gotten really big and they're pushing things on around. And Microsoft has never been high in my list of admirations of companies and business practices that I admire and that I would ever want to follow myself as an individual ever in my life. But the Windows operating system survived the changes and it became the one on top. There was no, you don't hear about OS2, you don't hear about what is it, CPM and some of the other things. And you're not running MS-DOS, DR-DOS, or IBM DOS, which I got pretty proficient of the C prompt, and I'm trying to get a little bit more proficient with the command line and the Linux slash Unix world. But the GUIs are kind of nice, and if you have a GUI solution that gets done late at night when you don't feel like really trying to muck around with everything, that's great too. That's why I'm an Ubuntu user right now. But I'm also looking around at other stuff and learning and picking up the other command line sides of it, because that's an interest also that I enjoy. But back to sitting in my truck. I was trying to network my two computers that I had together, and the BIOS on the desktop that I had in the big truck, I had the monitor over where the TV goes, and yes, I had a full-blown desktop in the computer, or in the truck that I used to get around on online with, and in the BIOS, I figured maybe it would boot quicker if I disabled the network card. Well, I re-enabled it one night and had the network cable, the crossover cable, and I was just kind of see about transferring stuff from one machine to the other, and or try setting up maybe a network game if my son was going to ride around with me in the truck, to where we could play a network game real easy. That was the thought. Well, I re-enabled it, and XP wanted to talk to the mothership online, and I don't think I had the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi wasn't working, or anyway, couldn't get online, and I was really disgusted. I thought that was a bunch of BS. You know, here I am playing on my computer, messing around with it. It should be obvious to the operating system that it's still on basically the same hardware. If they're going to do that kind of a thing, they can make it more intelligent and say, well, let's see, you've changed your CD drive from the original, but it's still everything else is the same. Well, you've changed that, yet everything else is the same, for a month or two. And they could do that in a more eloquent fashion if they were, but, being Microsoft, it probably takes them twice as many lines of code just to figure out how to do the one function, and rather than remove old code and function, let's just bloat it up and make it frustrating for the user experience. Although, to XP's credit, it's a lot more stable than any previous version of Windows that was ever out there, and thus its longevity. People got tired of the blue screens of death. But I've been reading around online about Linux. I was aware of Linux had a little run-in with a desktop. I didn't use it a lot. It wasn't my computer. For a software company that I worked for, they had Red Hat set up on there. And at that time, I thought Red Hat equaled Linux. And it's really pleasant and nice to find out that that concept was wrong. So what I looked for when I first tried to get online to get Linux, I looked for Red Hat, and then I find out it's now Fedora, and I had Fedora Core 6, and I went through repartitioning the hardware or hard drive on my desktop, and I was going to install Linux because the heck with this whole Microsoft thing, because I don't need them. And on and off with work, my off time, my downtime, trying to get that going, had a dual booting, trying to figure out grub, the permissions. There's a lot of stuff to learn, especially if you can't get online and find the stuff out easily. But long story short, Fedora Core 6 was installed up and on my system, but I couldn't connect it to the internet because it didn't support my Wi-Fi card that I had, or device, USB device. I probably had two of them, and neither one of them worked. That was really disheartening. And so I just kind of put the whole Linux idea, thinking, well, crap. These other people saying they're playing on Linux and they're having issues, and maybe I had that's a little bit more work than what I want to put into it. I read an article about Ubuntu by I think Adrian Kingsley Hughes off of ZDNet, I believe. And he was talking about this Ubuntu thing. And is this the year of the Linux desktop? Which now I think has come to the point of just complete ridiculousness. So I start probing around again for more Linux information. I got curious again. So, well, what you mean Red Hat isn't the only thing? This Fedora thing isn't the only, this isn't the only thing for Linux? Start finding out more and more. And I find Chess Griffin's podcast in iTunes, because I was using iTunes and grabbing that for podcatching and hating it because of how much bloat was in the iTunes. And looking for other methods to get on, and other programs to use as podcatchers. This is underneath Windows. And because I'd been hearing about this whole podcast and RSS feed thing, and I wasn't that familiar with it either. You hear about it, but you know, you're not really sure what it is and why people get excited about them. And I was talking to a young lady last night, getting all excited about this stuff because you know she's not aware of what's out there. And I feel it's one of my jobs as an open source advocate is to make people aware as best I can, at least get some seeds planted out there. The Johnny open source seed. Search for distros and distro hopping and downloading them and the time it took, and I think I actually ordered some stuff with OnDisk, but by the time I got, because I was over the road, got around to getting to my mailbox, which could take 2 to 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks before I get to it at a time, and it was always kind of like Christmas for me because I'd forget what I'd ordered. I was like, ooh, here's a box. Oh, shoot, what did I order? Yeah. I could even wrap my own Christmas gifts and I wouldn't know what I'm opening. But as long as I do it 6 months in advance. The problem is I'd probably buy a duplicate of it because I forgot. I've done that. I got stuff in storage that I've bought duplicates of things because I forget I have them, or I'm on the road and I need something and I buy another one. But I got Puppy Linux up and running, you know, booted off a live CD on my machine. And Puppy Linux was the first distribution that I had that the browser worked, the Wi-Fi was the device, the card was found, and I was using SeaMonkey and I was browsing the internet using Linux. And you know, Puppy is the, will always have that little notoriety for me as being the first distribution that I used that worked for getting online. I found Ubuntu. I think it worked on one of my machines right off the bat, because you know I was trying it on with two or three different machines, and I in fact after listening to Chess Griffin, I decided to look for an old laptop online, and I got a $150 laptop. I think it was a Pentium 2, which, you know, 198 megs of RAM. It wasn't so much the RAM as processor. It was an old machine. It was a great little old machine. I think it was a Toshiba. I think I have Toshibas all the way around for everything that I've had. I've really liked the durability of the Toshibas so far. You know, Puppy Linux wasn't very noob-friendly, getting it installed on the hard drive. I found in the beginning was confusing. It probably would be that confusing today to go through this stuff and look at it, because I now understand a lot of what they're saying, and I'm getting better at understanding the quick install or instructions, which are vague for a noob, but for someone who, you know, the bare minimum is like for how to do stuff. But I got Ubuntu up and running, PC Linux going on one of the machines, and all this time I'm listening to Chess Griffin Marlon Dunn, found, you know, Chess via, you know, iTunes, like I had mentioned, which I think he was on like podcast 50, and they just gotten done with the OLF, or they had talked about it. I know that he and David Yates and Marlon Dunn, even, and Tilts, you know, those guys are talking about it. There's a couple other Linux podcasts that kind of went by the wayside. And for the ones that have kind of gone off into the ether, Marlon Dunn is one that, if you can find it archived and someone had that, he's still a lot of fun to listen to. Go back, listen again. He had a lot of enthusiasm. You know, he was ill, and his health, he quit doing the podcast. He had a book. I actually bought his book. I think it's shortly after the Tilts interview with him, and it's a huge book. He covers a lot. It might have been a little bit better if he'd done little smaller chunks of it at a time, because you look at something that's as thick as his, and for someone that's new at it, that just looks like a lot to try to digest. But he covers a lot. I think he's amazing for what he's done there. But he was self-published. And I got Ubuntu, got it up and running on one of my machines. It was dual booting it all the time. I don't remember if it was one of the desktops or laptops that I used for the most part. But I still needed Windows for some of the programs I was using and wanting to run. And, I was wanting a new laptop. So I bought another laptop later on, another Toshiba with all the Intel chips, because, hey, that should be safe. And I got more issues with that silly thing. Ooh, man, I'm going a little too fast here. Downhill with a big truck. There's Mr. Cop in the median. I hope he didn't think I was speeding at such degree to deserve a ticket. Anyway, it looked like he's coming out here. I might be lucky, but I was pushing it though. Going downhill with a load, it's yeah. Use that gravity. I don't know. He's coming out here. He might be coming to talk to me. I don't know. In any case, all right, for Linux. But that's pretty much it. I started finding other podcasts, the IRCs, joining in live for the chats, and looking forward to Wednesday nights for Tilts. And there's a couple others, Linux Cranks and Free Linux Helpline. And there's a lot of people that are getting involved with helping promote the open source. And it's really kind of cool. You know, I've made it to OLF twice. The first time I met Chess Griffin, he pointed out David Yates to me. And he saw David at one meeting. There was a meeting in a center area where you can kind of wander in and out. It wasn't in an enclosed room. And David was unshaven with his arms crossed and really intent looking, and he looked really mean, nasty, and I didn't want to talk to him because he looked like, you know, he's ready to hurt something, and I didn't want him to be mean. So I didn't meet David Yates the first one, but the second time I met him, he's actually one of the nicest people you ever meet. And, you know, John O'Bacon and a few other open source notorieties at that at the 2008 OLF there in Columbus. And it was really fun. And I have to agree with some of the others. It's the apex of my year. There's other cons going on. PenguinCon. I'm not going to be able to make them all. If I and if I'm going to pick one, it'll be the OLF. Just because I seem to think that that's the one where everyone else is at. I remember hearing David Yates after the 2008 one, how fired up he was. And I'm so glad he's doing the Southeast Linux Fest. I really wish I was in a position to get down there and participate with it. PagoCon's about 180 miles away from where I live, and I wish I could make it to that too, which is next weekend, which dates this here in this podcast a little bit. I don't think I'll be able to make that either. It's just work is work, and life gets in the way of those things. But anyhow, listen to the various Linux podcasts and using Ubuntu. And when I got my new laptop, I got to the point, it came with Vista on it, and it was just, Vista, the whole Vista experience thing. I booted it up, thought, well, shoot, maybe I'll dual boot this thing, and, we'll just see what this whole Linux thing's about. Because I was looking for some, I was looking for employment back into the IT type world, and got my A+ certification. I don't know, about a year ago, year or two ago, and trying to get out of the big truck, and couldn't make the interviews because I'm over the road. I'm in the wrong state where they want me to meet up for interviews. So I got local driving for right now, and I'll pursue that here in the next few months. I try to get settled in first, but long and short of it, I got to that new laptop. Now let's back up. So, I had the desktop in the truck, and I had an older laptop, and I took the desktop out of the truck, and I wanted to get a second laptop. I was have a little bit more room, more portability in the truck, and I wanted to have two of them because what if one went bad? And the new one was going to be my Linux machine that had the Intel chips, and I figured I'd be safe with that, with another Toshiba. And it works, but the sound on it, the headphone and microphone jack that are built into it don't work properly. They haven't yet. I haven't tried Jaunty yet. I don't know if that'll fix that problem or not, but we'll see. But when I went to boot that machine up, and I was going to dual boot it, and it got to the screen where McAfee wanted me to enter in all this information, I just thought, the heck with it. Just completely the heck with it. And I heard Link come to Tilts talk about on one of his machines. He says he didn't even boot up Windows. He got home, he plopped in the disk and just formatted it. He didn't even get a chance to spin around on his hard drive. So, I admire that man. But, so I figured, you know what? These guys are doing it. I got another machine that's got Windows on another laptop. So if I get confused or need help, I can get online. And Ubuntu 6.10? Probably was the first one I had, because I know I upgraded from 6 from something to 7.04, so so that would be the logical steps, I believe. And most everything was working, and I had the two different laptops. My old one that had basically booted straight into Windows, the other one that booted straight into Linux. And nothing but Linux on the one, and nothing but Windows on the other. And I was finding myself more and more liking playing around with the Linux machine. It's also lighter hardware. The hardware on it is just a little bit better. The older one is built kind of like an Abrams tank. It's big, it's heavy, it's hot, it sucks up a lot of electricity. I still like it because it there hasn't been one distribution I've put on it that didn't work, but granted, it doesn't have a Wi-Fi card built in. It doesn't have, you know, a webcam built in. It's lacking some parts of the hardware, but everything has worked on it. Headphone jack, microphone jack, just right out of the box. Everything on that machine has just been dandy. You know, in spite of the fact that it's hot, big, and heavy, it works. I've replaced the hinges on it, upgraded the RAM on it, upgraded the hard drives 2 or 3 times, just getting bigger ones. So, but yeah, that's my Linux experience. I've got a laptop that's got nothing but Linux on it. The other one dual boots into Linux now. The Windows is I need to get around to shrinking it down, and it's my secondary machine, the big and hot heavy laptop. It's what I'm using now instead of a triple EPC for a lot of things. It's the secondary stuff, and I don't really have a desktop that I use anymore. Although that might be changing. All right, I think I've rambled on enough. I'll edit this sucker on out. Might listen to it and edit it even down more. All right, guys, have a good one. HPR Radio. You are listening to Hacker Public Radio. The radio truck drivers listen to on their media players. Oh yeah, podcasting at 55 miles an hour, 18 wheels. Don't have the speed, but I got the rubber.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.